Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com, SteveJonesShow.com. You can get in contact with us with your emails, Steve Jones at WKOK.com. And don't forget, if you miss any of our shows, just go to the podcast page, SteveJonesShow.com. If there are any breaking sports news that'll pop up over the weekend, we'll make sure we have it on SteveJonesShow.com. Scheduled to join us later this afternoon, shooting for 3:35, Mitch Rupert of the Williamsport Sun-Gazette. He is the Williamsport Cross-Cutters writer for the Sun-Gazette, also does a podcast called Timber Talk. So we will get the latest from Mitch Rupert on the Williamsport Cross-Cutters side of things, who, of course, is a big rival of the State College Spikes. And also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh sports reporter, will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour.
We're going to have Harry Doyle on for Teepee Talk.
when I mentioned to you about Mitch's podcast, Timber Talk, that was the first thing he said.
Welcome to another edition of Teepee Talk. In case you haven't noticed, and based on the attendance you haven't, the Indians are playing pretty well lately. That dude just steals the movie. He just steals it. Now, who's our... we have Movie Mike.
Our motion picture expert, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Now, have we ever heard a review from Movie Mike on what he thinks of Major League?
I will shoot him a text and get his breakdown of Major League. That'd be perfect reason for Mike to come on the show.
Oh, great sports movies?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Mike on the show. In fact, call up Mike today.
Okay.
See, I'm going to call him during the show. What the heck? We'll just do it now.
Okay.
It'd be fun. What the heck? He goes on Lawrence's show all the time. What the heck? he could slum down here with us.
He does the Sunbury Broadcasting Car Wash. You know, he does Carrie's Corner on the Valley. He's on with Drew and Allie and even makes an extra Monday morning appearance on there and does the Hollywood News. And
Reel him in. Come on. It's a Friday, for goodness sakes. Let's have a little fun here. Well, he's not expecting it, but what the heck? You never know. Shoot him a text.
I will. Right now.
Best sports movies. All right. What does he think of the best sports movies?
I'm hoping he's going to say Hoosiers.
Oh.
That may be low-hanging fruit. But
I'm hoping he doesn't say the Mighty Ducks.
It's like I always tell people when we promote Movie Mike's appearances on our radio stations, I'll say he sifts through the crap so you don't have to.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. That's his job, what he does.
Movie numbers are down this summer. I don't know why. I mean, Independence Day was supposed to be some great blockbuster, and I guess it has not been.
And then last Friday, the Steven Spielberg movie that came out last week, it could end up as one of the biggest bombs in his entire fantastic career.
Well, it's interesting. Now, what studio put out Spielberg? Was it his own studio or what? Remember last year, George Clooney had a movie.
Yeah, that Ocean World deal, yeah.
No. It was like Futurama or what was it? Future Land or something like that, wasn't it? I know you're looking it up, I can tell.
Tomorrowland.
That was close. And I guess it bombed at the box office. Like, when I mean bombed, I mean they lost, I want to say, $150 million plus on the movie. But it has a domino effect that affects you if you're a sports fan. You want to know how? Why do you think ESPN laid off people last year? Because a movie like that goes into the tank, and then Disney owns ESPN. So between ESPN paying out huge numbers, for rights, but there's also the domino effect that when a movie like that bombs, the entire company feels the effect of it. Well, ESPN's part of the company. So this is probably the last show movie Mike ever expected to be on.
I'm on the phone with Mike right now, and sounds like I can get him on here in a second.
Good. I'm going to have some fun here today. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Speaking of fun, lots of fun at Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, water, soda, snacks, wine coolers, roasted peanuts fresh and hot every day. Yeah. I mean, Mike can come on in the last half hour, whatever half hour is convenient for him. We can move Tony around. Tony's cool with whatever. DeFazio I'm talking about. We're going to talk about the Cutters next half hour and Timber Talk. A little Timber Talk. They're 10-10 right now, by the way, Williamsport is. So, been an odd schedule. We'll talk about the schedule oddities. About playing outside the division with Mitch Rupert coming up in a little bit. Looking forward to that very much. See him a lot. Great guy. Excellent reporter. Gets it done. And we'll be talking to him a little bit of baseball. And then Tony DeFazio will be joining us as well. And then as soon as Sean is done with the intense movie Mike negotiations.
It's getting intense.
Look.
Vetting process.
Vetting process.
I got Mike on the other side of the line. You got a kick out of that.
Vetting process. I don't know. You want to come on the last half hour, 4 o'clock half
well,
hour
he told
now?
Me, just told me 4:35. He's not available. Got some family stuff going on.
That's fine.
Yeah.
4:06. 4:06. Good. Because I moved Tony to 4:35. Tony is, you know.
He's leaving at 4 for his family outing, so.
Oh, we can get him on now, then. Wants to come on now, we can talk to him now.
All right, we're going to get Mike on here right now. Here we go. All right, making his Steve Jones Show debut, Movie Mike. All right.
Hi.
I mean, what an incredible step up the ladder for you. No.
it's my privilege.
All right, so we were talking about... Because we're going to have Mitch on the next half hour, and he has a podcast called Timber Talk. Mm-hmm. So I said, that reminds me of Harry Doyle in Major League, and time for another edition of TP Talk. So
Right. That
then brings up, what are some of the best sports movies you've ever witnessed?
The first one that comes to my mind is a great film from 1977 starring my favorite actor of all time, Paul Newman, and that would be the hockey comedy Slapshot.
The War Memorial in Johnstown was the backdrop.
That's right, and it's such a funny movie, and the thing I love about it, aside from the fact that Paul Newman is great in everything, is that it's a very smart comedy. It's definitely R-rated. It's got a little bit of raunchiness, a little bit of edginess, but it's a very, very smart comedy, and that means you can go back and watch it again and again, and it always makes you laugh.
The Hanson brothers are real. They're actually the Carlson brothers who play with the Minnesota Fighting Saints in the WHA.
Mm-hmm.
So they're real. They actually play professional hockey.
And that's such a great story in and of itself, isn't it?
All right, so what's next, Mike? What's another good one?
Another good one that really stands out for me is Martin Scorsese's Raging Bull with Robert De Niro playing the boxer Jake LaMotta. Even if you know or care zero about boxing, which I admit I don't, it's just such a compelling human drama. So that would be another one that would certainly be in my top two or three sports movies of all time.
George Paterno was very close with Jake LaMotta. They were lifelong friends. So,
were they? I didn't know that.
Yes, George Paterno, and because George lived in New York, lived on Long Island, and he and Jake LaMotta spent a lot of time together at events and socially and so forth. They're very good friends. All right, next up, Mike.
Okay, I'm going to go to another comedy here because this is a movie I love and have seen more than a dozen times, and that would be Caddyshack. From 1980. And the thing I love about Caddyshack is, in some ways, it's a sports movie. I mean, obviously, people think of it as a golf comedy. But if you scratch the surface of that movie, it's really about intolerance and prejudice. It's about all of these characters who are kind of elitist snobs, and they dislike the Rodney Dangerfield character who's Jewish, and they dislike the Michael O'Keefe character who comes from a more blue-collar background. And it's one of those movies that works on two levels. You can look at it as a silly golf comedy, or you can look at it as a surprisingly astute examination of superficiality and elitism.
They actually have a scene with Chevy Chase and Bill Murray, and the reason... And it's where he's trying to, Ty is trying to get himself ready to play in the big money match the next day. So he's out there playing at night, and he hits the ball into Murray's abode. And the reason they did that scene was they realized when the movie, they were just about done with the movie, that Murray and Chase had no scenes together. That's why they did it.
Right. And they improvised that entire scene. And the thing that was interesting about that is that Chevy and Bill Murray had a very famous run-in backstage at Saturday Night Live after Chevy Chase had left and came back to host, and they almost came to blows. John Belushi got in the middle of them and ended up taking most of the punches. But it was kind of fun to see them on screen. I think you can sense a little bit of that tension in that scene between them, which makes it kind of fun.
This is kind of a Kentucky bluegrass mix.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Okay, so what's next? What's you got heavy on comedies except for Raging Bull.
Right. Well, this one is sort of a comedy, a little bit of drama, too. And I would pick A League of Their Own from 1992 with Tom Hanks and Gina Davis, women's baseball film. One of those movies that makes you laugh, and then at the end you have a lump in your throat and tears in your eyes.
And that league really did exist. Really did exist. Okay, what's next?
A football drama that I think is very, very good would be Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, okay.
Which is another true story, a very inspirational story, and certainly one that, it spawned a TV show that was on for quite a few years. So that's one that I think a lot of people have seen and are familiar with.
Yeah, I think Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton were in the TV show together.
Right.
Okay, so now we're getting serious. All right, so what else is on your list? Sports movies, great ones.
I'm living in Pennsylvania. How could I not pick Rocky?
Yeah.
Another boxing movie. And there again, whether you like boxing or not, terrific film.
Well, I mean, the film won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Yes.
It beat out Network, I think, that year.
I do have to admit that I would have given it to Network over Rocky, but that's not to take anything away from Rocky.
Right. And, of course, that takes place in Philly. Okay, next up. In fact, there's another sports movie, All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise, that took place in Johnstown as well. So.
Yes, and that's also a very good movie, and one that's kind of underrated. Came out in the 80s, and I think those of us who were around at that time remember the film, but I don't know if younger people of today have ever seen it.
Right, yeah. Cruz is in it, Craig T. Nelson, and...
Mm-hmm. I believe Leah Thompson was the female lead, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leah Thompson's in it, and it's high school football in Western Pennsylvania. All the football scenes were shot at... Point Stadium in Johnstown.
Yeah.
All right. People are surprised you probably, because you haven't mentioned Hoosiers yet.
I was going to come around to that. Hoosiers, a great basketball drama. There have been quite a few movies about basketball that have been really good. Hoosiers with Gene Hackman is great. And there was also a documentary in 1994 called Hoop Dreams that followed two young inner-city athletes as they were pursuing their NBA dreams. And those are both movies about young people playing basketball. And both films really kind of get at what it means to have an athletic ambition and to be able to see success in front of you and try to reach for it.
Well, in fact, in Indiana, it used to be until about, I want to say 8-9 years ago, Mike, that's how the tournament was run, where everybody was in the tournament and they played. And then they changed the classifications like we have here in Pennsylvania about 8-9 years ago. That's why the Milan story has resonated so much over the years there, because of the fact that you played everybody.
Right.
Okay. None of the major leagues have made the cut.
The first major league is kind of funny. They go a little bit downhill there for me, although I know some people really love the second one. The third one is hard to find fans of.
Right, but exactly. The only fans of that movie were the people who cashed checks.
Right. Pretty steep drop-off in quality on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but Bob Uecker steals the show.
He does, absolutely. A great comedy performance from him.
Okay, what are we leaving out here?
The other one I would be so neglectful not to mention, a movie near and dear to my heart, The Bad News Bears.
The Bad News Bears, Walter Matthau.
Yes. I saw this movie. It came out in 1976. I was 8 years old. My parents took me to see it. And this was the movie that taught me the joy of swearing. Because it was a movie. I had never seen a movie before where children swore. And I remember being so blown away by that at that age. It seems so edgy to me. It's a funny movie. I've seen it again not that long ago, and it holds up very well. But a great satire of youth sports. And a very, very brilliant film, too.
Tatum O'Neill?
That was Tatum O'Neill, yeah. Walter Matthau, yeah. Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah. Mike, this is a lot of fun. It's a Friday in July. We had a little bit of fun with it. I know you did this on the absolute spur of the moment. I realize we don't bring with it the class of the Lawrence show. I got that. But we appreciate your time, and your expertise and knowledge is on the station is always great. We love it.
Oh, well, thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Mikey.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Movie Mike. Best sports movies.
I'll be hung up on a movie related question, and I can just shoot him a text and I can get a response back in like a minute. He's just a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the flicks. He is awesome.
Yeah, really. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. See, now the suit is sitting back and he's saying, "See, he can have fun on the show." I have no comment. We'll come back.
Don't know what you got till it's gone.
All right. I know we have to take a break, which we'll do right now. And then we'll come back, news bottom of the hour. And then we're going to talk about the Crosscutters next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
30 new Kias at just $101 under invoice. That's right, $101 under invoice, but only to the first 30 Kia buyers and only at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. All remaining 2016 Kias will be priced at $101 under invoice, plus all applicable factory incentives at Sunbury Motors Kia, but only to the first 30 Kia buyers, so you'll have to hurry in. Have a trade? We'll pay you top dollar for that as well. And did you hear Kia was just named the number one brand for initial quality in J.D. Powers & Associates' initial quality study? Combine that with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty.
Now
is the time to buy.
But you need to hurry in today.
This offer is only available to the first 30 buyers who purchase a new 2016 Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Hurry in and claim your Kia at just $101 under invoice.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, it's summertime. Brewers Outlet time. You want to stock up. Come on, it's humid out. You want something nice and refreshing. How about a beer? Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. How about a wine cooler? Water, soft drinks. You like to mix in some snacks? They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is unbelievable. It's second to none. Love the dills and love the barrel pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
How about the beer of the week? Heineken 24-pack cans, $24.95, and Miller Lite 18-pack cans, $10.99. Those specials good through the 12th.
Loving it. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history that Mitch Rupert will join us. 1889, John L. Sullivan defeated Jake Kilrain in the last championship bare-knuckle fight. The fight lasted 75 rounds. 1953, Notre Dame has always been ahead of the media curve. And in this date, 1953, they announced a five-year deal where their football games would be shown in theaters over closed-circuit TV. 1970, Jim Ray Harps, good third baseman with the Giants, became the first National League player in 59 seasons to collect six RBIs in a single inning. And in 2003, Dominic Hasek announced that he planned to come out of retirement and rejoin the Detroit Red Wings. Mitch Rupert joins us, Williamsport Sun-Gazette, and also as a podcast, Tinder Talk. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Early season, 20 games in, what's your first impression?
My first impression is that this Crosscutters team can win all the games they want at home and can't win on the road. They're 7-0 on the home. They start a six-game homestand tonight, and they're only 3-7 on the road. Why that is, I couldn't even begin to tell you. This short season ball, everything is so compact, and these kids are being rushed here from college or from the GCL. It's tough to put a thumb on anything, but it is what it is, the popular saying. But they're 7-0 at home, they're 3-7 on the road, and it makes them a .500 team right now.
What's interesting is that they've changed up the schedule, where instead of playing nothing but division games first month, then playing out-of-division games second month, then closing out with division games, they're sprinkling in non-division games. For example, when Williamsport was done here the opening weekend, they played here on a Saturday. They had to go to Lowell, not a short trip. What were your thoughts on how the schedule was put together this year?
Well, like you said, Steve, it was really different. I'm used to seeing, State College two or three times in the first 3 weeks, or Auburn and Batavia, and, we've seen the spikes for two games so far. It just doesn't make sense being 40 minutes away from each other early in the season as players are being shuttled back and forth. But it's the trips that they've had to make. I mean, the Cutters got to make the trip to Connecticut. They already went to Connecticut. They already went to Lowell in Massachusetts. And they have to go to Vermont later this month. Those are the three longest trips, that you have in the league. So it was an interesting way that they put the schedule together this year. It's definitely different. whether it's better or it's worse, you'd probably have to ask the players and the coaches, and then they might just say worse just for the long trips and the, you know, the short rest between, you know, getting back from the road and having to play again.
You mentioned Connecticut and Lowell. State College, for example, will go to Connecticut Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, come home, and then go to Lowell. Why not play Connecticut and Lowell back-to-back in the same six-game road trip?
Yeah, and I thought the same thing, because it's only been, you know, a week and a half, 2 week span between the time Williamsport had to go to Lowell and then they had to go back up to Connecticut. You know, it just didn't make sense that, you know, and that always seemed to be what the league tried to do. They you know, you play Auburn and Tri-City kind of at the same time, or you always play Lowell in Connecticut at the same time, something like that. I look at the Cutter schedule, and their last game in Vermont, I believe, is a 7 o'clock Saturday game, and they have to turn around, make that trip home, and play a 5 o'clock Sunday game at Bowman Field. Like, who made that schedule? Like, I don't understand what goes through people's heads sometimes, but I'm not going to, you know, throw the schedule makers under the bus, because they have a harder job than I could ever imagine.
Yeah, very, very, very difficult, no question. What holdover from last year that's back again this year has impressed you so far?
Well, I've always been a Kenny Coppola fan. Just his raw, natural stuff. You know, the numbers don't say how good his stuff is. And if you get a chance to sit behind home plate when he pitches, he's got incredible movement on his two-seam fastball, and he'll sit 92 to 93 miles an hour with it, and he gets that same arm side run that he throws with the changeup, and he's got a nice kind of Aaron Nola kind of curveball. It's not quite that refined, obviously, but that same kind of lateral movement to go with the curveball. So I'm a Kenny Coppola fan, even though the numbers don't say what I think his ability really is.
Of the new players that they've mixed into the lineup, who's made some strides early that bears watching?
Oh, absolutely. It's Adonis Medina. And he had a little scare in his last start. He was removed after 13 pitches and four outs. He took a comebacker off the inside of his right foot and just caused him to limp around a little bit. So they were really, for precautionary measures, they took him out of the game. But this kid is for real. I mean, he was Baseball America's number 10 prospect in the Philly system coming in. He's only 19 years old. He's 92 to 94 with heavy sink to his fastball. And the secondaries are coming along, you know, the changeup and the curveball. But this kid's getting ground balls at a Greg Maddux-like rate. I mean, it's like throwing a bowling ball up there to the plate and guys are just hammering it into the ground. This kid's got a world of ability, and he's only 19 years old.
Mitch, what about the everyday players? Anybody that's a stick out to you among the everyday players at this stage?
Well, yeah, the two guys that I'm going to mention, you know, anybody who looks at the stat sheet is going to, you know, laugh me all the way back to my house in Bloomsburg, because I'm a big fan of Archimedes Gamboa, who's currently hitting 111, and I'm a big fan of Luke Williams, who's hitting 229. But these kids, respectively, are 18 and 19 years old. And you've seen Luke Williams. I think that kid is super athletic down at third base. And he's hitting a ton out of the baseball and just, you know, not getting any luck. He seems to always hit it right at the right fielder or right at the shortstop. You know, he's hitting the ball hard. You know, the numbers just don't show how well he's swinging the bat. And he had a nice trip up at Connecticut over the last 3 days, so I think he's coming around. And Archimedes Gamboa, to me, is as smooth a shortstop as I've ever seen on this level. Especially for a kid who's only 18 years old. He was an $800,000 signing bonus kid out of Latin America a couple years ago, and I think he's going to hit. He's got to grow a little bit. He's got to put a little more weight on, get a little more power, but I think he's eventually going to hit, and he'll be a pretty good player.
Yeah, I mean, I would think he's the smoothest guy I've seen there since Freddie Galvis. How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good comparison. Freddie was here the year before I started covering the Crosscutters.
Yep.
The guy I always go back to is Malquin Canelo, who's now playing in the Florida State League. He was 18 years old when he played here as well, but just a rocket arm that can throw from all over the diamond and just smooth, soft hands. I mean, just a real good player. But Freddie Gallus is probably a good comparison.
And in fact, if I recall correctly, Williams was the third-round pick a year ago of the Phillies, wasn't he?
He was, and he was kind of a surprise pick there in the third round. I think there were he was maybe slotted into like that 6th to 8th round, and they took him a little earlier in the draft than he was expected to. But all last year, I talked to Chris Truby, who's the Phillies' minor league infield instructor, and all he did was just rave about Luke Williams playing third base and just how athletic he was and how good he was at putting the bat on the baseball in the batter's box. And he really lived up to the way Chris Truby talked him up last year.
Pat Borders, his second year back as the manager, what's it been like working with him?
Well, when I get the chance to talk to him, it's always great. You know, we had a 3 or 4 game stretch where the games weren't finishing until 10:45 or 11 o'clock. And my deadline's about 11:15. So it didn't leave a whole lot of opportunities to get in to talk to Pat, but he's great. You know, he's super insightful, especially when we start talking about catchers, because obviously he was a big league catcher for 20 years. And he loves to talk about how catchers think their way through a game and how they call a game and reading hitters and all that stuff. I mean, I could talk to Pat about catching and, you know, just the mental aspect of the game all day.
Mitch, at Bowman Field, they've done a lot of work there to change the ballpark up. What are some of the areas where they're making improvements and it shows that the city and the club are making an effort?
Well, the big thing is, I think, that the city is investing in the stadium. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand. The city owns Bowman Field,
yes.
And the Crosscutters just lease it. But the city has invested money. I mean, as you come to the ballpark now, and Steve, you've seen it, there's construction down the right field line. They're building a two-tiered party deck that next year is going to have a full bar service, which unfortunately they're not going to deliver to the press box. Which was my hope. But that's the way minor league baseball is going. They're going to these party decks that you see, and there's a couple down the left field line here at Bowman Field, and they're making it not just a ball game, but an experience for fans, somewhere to come and, you know, hang out with your buddies on a night and enjoy a couple adult beverages.
Right. And that is the pattern almost everywhere you're going, and by doing something like that, the other part, too, is it's going to modernize the park and make the park look better. I mean, that's, you know, that's also part of it because it's part of the atmosphere there, too.
You're absolutely right. You know, the one thing you don't want to lose with Bowman Field is the character of a 90-year-old ballpark. This is, they call it historic Bowman Field for a reason. And, you know, it's the second oldest operating minor league ballpark in the country. And I don't think you want to lose that feel. I mean, you want to sit in the stands and go back to the 1950s or 1960s and have that feel. But at the same time, you have to understand that baseball fans nowadays aren't coming to a ball game just to watch the ball game. You know, it's a social experience. So you have a little bit of both now for fans here in the Williamsport area.
Mitch, the first time we've had you on the show, and I apologize for that. We should have had you on a lot more before this. But can't wait to talk to you again. I can't wait to see you soon, too. You do a great job.
I appreciate that, Steve, and thanks for having me on. Anytime you need me, just give me a buzz.
All right. Mitch Rupert joining us. Williamsport Sun Gazette, and also has Tinder Talk, his podcast. Check that out. And coming up next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Had a fun show so far today, but then again, we're fun people. Now, the suit didn't think I was fun. Sean, I don't know where he's
coming
from.
It's another topic for another day, yeah.
I think right now the tie's a little tight up for the suit.
Breathe upstairs. Got to breathe.
Yeah, and we're breathing. We're breathing just fine. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. We'll kick it into another gear when we come back after this on News Radio 1070 WKOK. If you missed the first half hour of the show, we spent the entire half hour just listing the places that Larry Brown used to coach. Actually, we have Movie Mike on. Great to have Mike on today. Great to have Mitch Rupert on for the first time. Excellent guest. Really enjoyed talking with him. Larry Brown resigned today as the head basketball coach at SMU. He's coached so many places, it's almost comical.
He has a knack of heading out the door in a very unique way. I think today's move kind of falls into that category, too.
Well, evidently he's 75. He wanted a five-year contract. Allegedly, they offered him three. And he walked. Now, they just were put on probation. In fact, the first game back this year, I was there. It was at Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. They played Kent State right before Penn State played Colorado. Yeah, they all gave him a standing ovation when he walked in, the whole deal. And the in his career, people forget. In fact, here's a great one. You know how his coaching career started? What his first job was? He was named the head basketball coach at Davidson. Davidson, all right?
And he wasn't there too long.
He didn't coach a game. Okay? He left that summer. He took the job in the spring. He left that summer and became the head coach of the Carolina Cougars. I mean, really? So he becomes the he takes the Davidson job, and then he's in the summer and he takes the ABA job. So he goes from the Carolina Cougars from 72 to 74, the Denver Nuggets from 74 to 79, the New Jersey Nets from 81 to 83, the San Antonio Spurs from 88 to 92. The Clippers from 91 to 93. The Pacers from 93 to 97. The Sixers from 97 to 2003. The Pistons, where he won the NBA championship, from 2003 to 2005. The Knicks in 2005-2006. The Bobcats from 2008 to 2011. And then in college, UCLA from 79 to 81, Kansas from 84 to 88, and SMU from 12 to 16. I'm exhausted.
He claims that he tried for 20 months to get a contract extension, and this was not his plan, original plan to leave like he's, you know, how it ended up.
Right. He's also coached the Olympics. He won the gold medal in Sydney, and nothing happened in Athens. That was would they get a bronze medal out of that? I think in Athens, bronze. Ooh, yeah.
Never thought while his time in Philadelphia that he and Allen Iverson would never get along. I mean, you think of water and oil, but now they wax poetic each other. And I remember hearing Larry Brown. It was earlier this year. He was being interviewed by Hannah Storm on ESPN, saying that Alice flat out said Allen Iverson made me a better coach.
Talent does that, Sean. You'd be amazed that talent really does help. But he's been all over the place. Let's see. Let's run. How many are there here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 head coaching jobs. 14 head coaching jobs in 34 years. Now, he is a great guy to be around. You ever been around him?
Never had the opportunity.
Yeah, because the Sixers had training camp here.
That's right.
The Sixers had training camp here at Penn State. And this is during the Iverson time, the whole deal. He was great to be around. Great to talk to. Man, does he know his basketball. But... takes a little, doesn't stay in one place long. How about that? I'm trying to think, is there any other coach that's won an NBA title and an NCAA title? I don't think there is. I mean, Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson have 19 of them, so that eliminates a lot of people. I think he's the only one that has. That's won both, but yeah, he stepped down today.
Only coach in basketball history to pull off both. Kansas 88, Pistons in 04.
And not only that, but in college he was 3-for-3. You know what he was 3-for-3 at? What do UCLA, Kansas, and SMU all have in common? All three were put on probation. Okay. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour. We just took the last 2 hours and ran down Larry Brown's career. That was brought to you by MapQuest.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.